On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers has granted more than 260 pardons to people with felony charges since restoring the governor's Pardon Advisory Board in 2019. One of them this year is Anthony Cooper of Madison. PBS Wisconsin profiled his life then and now.
It's almost a restart on life, a restart of me trying to explain and trying to convince people that, hey, that's who I was at 1920 or, you know, 21, 22 is not the same person who I am today.
Should convicted felons who have turned their lives around be given a second chance? We're looking at the political history of pardons with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good morning. Merv Seymour is with us as well, a special projects journalist with PBS Wisconsin. Merv, hello.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having us on.
Good morning. Let's start with you, Merv. You explored Governor Evers' renewal of the pardon power and really digging into the life of Anthony Cooper Sr. Can you tell us a bit about Anthony?
Well, Anthony's a guy that I randomly chose after looking at a long list of people who had received pardons this year. And he was convicted of three felonies associated with drug trafficking. He was selling heroin, and he served about 3 years in state prison and really turned his life around in terms of what he committed himself to. So now he runs a prison reentry program for the Nehemiah Center. He runs an organization called Focus Interruption, which helps people in the Madison area deal with the trauma from violence, gun violence, and violence in general. And really a guy that hasn't, you know, he had that one bump in the road and hasn't been in trouble since. And he applied for his pardon in 2019 and received it in 2021. And, you know, he's a glowing example of, you know, for the governor and his program in terms of what a person can accomplish, regardless of whether they have a felony on their record or not.
Yeah, that one bump in the road, as you say. I mean, this was convicted in 1999, and then a pardon coming, you know, a long time after that. What did he make of this experience?
Well, the thing is, his story is, you know, you can listen to these folks as they apply for these pardons on the Wisconsin Eye Network monthly, and they all really are very similar in terms of telling a story of something that happened a really long time ago. You know, 7 years, 10 years, 20 years, sometimes even 30, even longer. You know, it's redemption for him and other people that receive a pardon, and they really want to have the stigma removed of having this on their record. And I think, you know, for Anthony in particular, he was really inspired by his kids. He was really, I think, you know, embarrassed that he, you know, did these things, and he really was inspired to show his kids that, you know, you can make a mistake, and you can also do the best you can to make it right. And he really didn't want his kids to follow his lead. He was really hurt by, you know, having them visit him in prison over these years. But he was very open with them in terms of just being honest about the mistake he made. So I think he and others, they see it as just literally redemption, which is what the governor intends it to be as well.
Laurel, put this into context for us, the number of pardons that Governor Evers has granted and how that compares to history.
So that's a really interesting question, Kate, because this has varied over time. One of the things that I looked into specifically in my story was kind of the politics of pardons. So we looked at Democratic governors, Republican governors, how pardons have looked over the past several decades in Wisconsin. And I think kind of the headline there is Governor Evers has issued a lot of pardons. You mentioned earlier, it's more than 250 now, I think maybe even north of 260 now. And in comparison with what some other governors have done prior to him, that's a large number for the amount of time that he's been working. He's been issuing pardons for about 2 years. So you look at, say, Governor Jim Doyle. He was a Democratic governor before Scott Walker was in office. He was in office from 2003 to 2011. Obviously bigger chunk of time than 2 years. He issued 293 pardons in that time. And he was the most of any governor, of any recent governor. So Governor Evers is already kind of nipping on the heels of Governor Doyle, and Governor Doyle had a lot more time in office to issue these pardons. Other folks, you know, we've got former Governor Tommy Thompson. We talk about him a lot these days because he's obviously still very involved in the Wisconsin political ecosystem. Between 1987 and 2001, he issued 238. Governor Scott McCallum, another Republican, only issued 24. And then at the very end of the spectrum, we have our most recent former governor, Governor Scott Walker, who didn't issue any pardons at all, which was, a real stark choice, obviously, and something that a lot of folks focused on during his administration.
We're talking with Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, Merv Seymour, special projects journalist with PBS Wisconsin, as we explore the governor's ability to grant pardons and how Governor Evers has approached it. With your questions as well about pardons, 800-642-1234. Now, Laurel, a federal pardon is an action handed down by the president that wipes the punishment for a federal crime. Can you explain how a pardon at the state level by the governor is different?
So I think that's a really important distinction. The pardons that the governor of Wisconsin issues are for state crimes that are convicted in state court. So there isn't any overlap between, you know, what the president can pardon and what a governor can pardon. And sometimes that becomes a pretty big issue. One of the things that I looked into when I was researching the political history of pardons in Wisconsin and kind of the conversation about that is the really high profile conversation about the potential pardon of Stephen Avery in Wisconsin. For folks that aren't familiar with Stephen Avery, he was made famous by a Netflix documentary called Making a Murderer. And kind of the premise of the documentary was that he may have not been guilty of the crime that he was convicted of committing in the courts. And so thousands of folks actually signed a petition for both Barack Obama, who was president at the time, and Scott Walker, the governor, to pardon Stephen Avery. And Obama's administration basically said, we can't do that. It's a state issue. It's a state, they have jurisdiction over this. And Scott Walker said, he had that, he halted the pardon program. He had objections to issuing pardons. So it was a no-go for him. And that was a real kind of, it was a way to highlight, really, Walker's pushback and the fact that he didn't issue any pardons and kind of why he didn't issue pardons.
Merv, what is the process like for getting a pardon from Governor Evers?
It's pretty straightforward in terms of the application process. You pull the documents up and they pretty much ask you to explain what you've done. They ask you to speak of, how have you changed? And a lot of it is really what they look at is really based on, again, have you had any reoffenses since your, last conviction, and really, nonviolent types of crimes are tend to have a better chance to receive a pardon. It's a lot of drug related things. And I think it's important too. Laurel talked about this, this huge explosion of pardons by the Governor Evers. And, he's during our interview, he spoke to just how policing has changed over the years. And and we're evolving, in this world. And so how drug crimes are being treated, how marijuana charges are being treated is a little different, a lot different than maybe it was, 20, 25 years ago, 10 years ago. And so he thinks about that, I guess, in terms of, you know, when he's making some of these decisions. But it can, you know, it can take anywhere from usually it's a year and a half to 2 years to even step before the pardon advisory board.
And let's pause there with the pardon advisory board as we discuss the political issues of the pardon process with Merv Seymour at PBS Wisconsin and WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. Have you been pardoned of a crime in Wisconsin? How hard was it to get your case heard, and what difference has it made? Do you think that the governor should have the power to pardon people? Join in 800-642-1234. Back for more State Cap in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the history of political pardons on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pardons are issued to people who have completed their prison sentences for a felony conviction at least 5 years ago and taken significant steps to turn their lives around and give back to their communities. Governor Evers has issued hundreds in his first term, telling PBS Wisconsin,
"I review every single one that's recommended to me. It is one of the most heartwarming exercise that I go through as governor."
Do you think that the governor should have the power to pardon people? 800-642-1234. We have PBS Wisconsin's Merv Seymour and WPR's Laurel White. They've been reporting on pardons, and stay with us. Laurel, the governor's 8-member pardon advisory board, has that given any impetus to Evers to grant more pardons? What do you make of the board?
The board is a really important part of the process. When I interviewed a national expert on clemency, his name is Mark Osler. He works at the University of St. Thomas, and he's been working on this issue for decades. And he talked about the importance of pardon boards across the country in kind of encouraging a larger number of pardons. He said states that have these kind of advisory boards for the executive to work with tend to issue more. He said states in the South have a lot of these boards. And really interestingly, states in the South have issued a lot of pardons historically, just several hundred a year. We're talking, you know, 700, 800 individually, some of these states. So the reason that he said that he thinks those boards are important is it kind of runs the pardon through the applications through a filter, a process. You've got a number of people evaluating, they have public meetings, they talk about it, and then they send recommendations to the executive. So it's not just the executive making sort of a unilateral decision. There isn't the appearance of that. And that can kind of soften, in a way, this executive power, because if, you know, something were to go wrong, so you pardon someone, they commit another crime, which is a political risk that these executives take. There's another entity that's involved in the process. You know, there was a recommendation that came from a board.
You have the full backing of the board in a way. Yeah,
exactly. So that's kind of part of the process.
Is there any really clear answer why Governor Walker refused to grant pardons?
Well, he said he didn't want to interfere in the judicial process. He said that he didn't think it was his role to step in and overturn the decisions of a court. He said he trusted that. He said, that's not why I ran for office. That's not why I got into this job. And I just don't really feel like that's my role. And he was very, very consistent about that, you know, over his two terms. And as I mentioned before, there was some pretty substantial pushback from folks. And he just said, you know, nope, I've drawn a line in the sand on this, and I'm not going to do it.
Merv, can you elaborate on the governor's thinking about pardons and what a governor's pardon allows you to do?
Well, I think for the governor, it's a philosophical issue. You know, in my report, he talks about how his parents were in the healthcare field and they gave people second chances, you know, in life through the services they provided as health clinicians. And for him, he sees this as an opportunity to provide a second chance in life spiritually for people by giving them, you know, a chance to move on from these felonies. And really, you know, a felony on your record you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you drove through a cornfield and did X amount of damage to the property or whatever, it, you know, whatever it might be, it's going to impact your chance to get certain kinds of jobs, mm-hmm. To get certain or housing in certain, you know, neighborhoods and communities. And so it has a really big impact on that. I have a friend who just happened to, I'm looking at some of the applications online, and I saw someone that I knew, and I reached out to, you know, this friend of mine, and I didn't even know that he, you know, had this situation that from 25 years ago. But he is interested in getting into real estate in the state of Florida. But you can't have a felony on your on there and do that. And so for him, you know, receiving a pardon would allow him to be able to pursue a career in real estate. So, by getting the pardon, it does open a lot of doors and create more opportunities. And the governor also has a sense of, he says he doesn't want to throw anyone away. And he spoke in detail about just lots, you know, different people with felonies that are contributing to the state of Wisconsin. And he thinks that's really important. And he knows it's a political risk and potentially someone, you know, might slip up. But he feels really comfortable that the people that they've granted pardons to are on the right track and on the right track for the, you know, for good.
We're talking with Merv Seymour, who is a special projects journalist with PBS Wisconsin. Laurel White is here, WPR State Capitol reporter, as we discuss the history of political pardons and how Governor Evers approaches them today. With your thoughts and questions on pardons, 800-642-1234. Jim is joining us from Juneau. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking the call. So, like the story with a lot of us, I was made some serious mistakes in my youth. Haven't had any problems since. But my thing was outside of the state, Virginia. Anyways, I was wondering, is there any help to be gotten through this program to kind of, with a request to the Virginia Probation and Parole Department or whatever department controls the pardons to help get a pardon from my crime back in the 80s.
Jim, thank you. And Laurel, I'm going to toss this to you. Is there any help within Wisconsin, you know, to get a request from a different state to be on track for a pardon and an application?
That's a really good question. And honestly, not one that I know the answer to. I think, you know, reaching out to the Pardon Advisory Board and kind of the administrative folks around that might be able to point you in the right direction. But I don't know if there is a set process for helping folks that had issues outside of Wisconsin in previous years.
Yeah, easily could be a state-by-state process, every state right. doing it a little bit differently, every governor taking a different approach as we've been learning. Are there limits, Laurel, or qualifications in Wisconsin law on the number of people the governor can pardon?
There aren't. There are no limits. And that's kind of what we're seeing with Governor Evers going at this faster clip than other governors. There really isn't anything limiting him other than time, you know, yeah. the time that he has in office and how quickly the board can process applications, have hearings. They have publicly streamed hearings to go through these applications, and they've got a lot of them to go through. So it's not as Merv mentioned before, it's not a quick process, but they're certainly moving pretty quickly over the past 2 years to approve more than 250. So we've got certainly more time in Governor Evers' first term. It'll be interesting to see how many more they accomplish in that time.
Let's go to Jesse in Green Bay. Jesse, hi. What's your question about pardons?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, let's say the person would have caught a federal case. Can he still get a pardon from the Wisconsin state, even though it's a federal case?
Laurel, go ahead.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, there's no, for folks looking for a federal pardon from the state of Wisconsin, there's just no avenue there. If you want a federal pardon, you've got to go to the president. You've got to go to that executive. Only state cases for the governor of Wisconsin.
Merv, we only have a few seconds left, but what difference can a pardon make in someone's life?
Well, I think it's, you know, you take a case like Mr. Cooper's case, and it's really peace of mind, you know, an opportunity, and all the different kinds of opportunities it's going to open the door for. And, you know, and speaking to your the first caller you that called in asking about other states, and again, that's, it's going to vary by state by state. But there is an organization out of Milwaukee called the Milwaukee Justice Center, and another one called the Expungement Pardon Clinic, and they offer legal help to people in Wisconsin. So, you know, those folks over there might have an answer about what goes on in other states. So I would encourage your first caller to reach out.
Thank you for that suggestion. Yes. And thank you both for joining us. Merv Seymour with PBS Wisconsin, Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter. News is next here on the Ideas Network.